We want to balance our stress. We want to balance our food. We want to balance our minerals. We want to balance our vitamins. We want to balance our blood sugar. We want to balance our blood pressure. To do that, you need to be able to reduce your stress so that you can actually pay attention to what your body needs.
Welcome to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast. I'm Ray Ann Mullins, your guide on this quest to a vivacious life. Join me as we uncover the keys to ditch inflammation, conquer fatigue, and stride confidently towards a harmonious, health-filled existence. This podcast is your compass to a balanced and fit lifestyle. So get ready to elevate your wellness game and embrace the vibrant, high-quality life that you deserve. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast. It's Ray Ann, your host. So today we are talking about something that I believe is very, very important. And it's something that a lot of people don't understand. And I think that even though it's not super exciting to talk about, I think it'd be great for you to understand a little bit more. And today we are talking about your adrenals. So we will discuss what the adrenals are, why they are important, what adrenal fatigue is, the symptoms of adrenal fatigue, and finally, what you can do about it to support your system. So I learned all about adrenal fatigue years ago. And I learned about it when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And at that point, it became very personal. So if you have Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism at all, you'll want to pay very close attention. If you don't have Hashimoto's or any thyroid things happening or any health conditions, but you're someone who has a lot of stress and or anxiety, I definitely especially encourage you to continue listening. So what are the adrenals? The adrenals are two small glands at the top of your kidneys. These glands release hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. These are the stress hormones, okay? And they impact many important functions throughout our body. They help establish stress tolerance, manage inflammation, regulate blood sugar, regulate body fat, control electrolytes such as potassium and sodium levels, which, by the way, impact your blood sugar. And they influence your sex drive and anti-aging. So as you can see, the adrenals, even though they're these little tiny little glands, they do a big, big job. So what is adrenal fatigue? Adrenal fatigue is a term used in alternative medicine to describe a collection of symptoms that are believed to occur when your adrenal glands are not able to adequately produce hormones in response to stress. So it's important to know that adrenal fatigue is actually very controversial. There's many medical doctors that will not actually recognize this term. They say it's not accurate, but there are many doctors who do believe that there can be a breakdown in the adrenals that can cause issues. So even though many medical doctors do not diagnose adrenal fatigue, I personally have experienced this phenomenon and believe that it's a real thing. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But even though maybe not all medical doctors say it's something, most functional and alternative medicine doctors do believe it's a real thing. And like I said, I've personally experienced this exact thing and got through it. So, you know, hopefully what I teach you today, you can take and then, you know, apply it to yourself if necessary. Okay. And you can talk to your doctor or not. In most cases of adrenal fatigue, the problems generally originate in a communication breakdown that occurs within your hypothalamus, which is in your brain, your pituitary, and your adrenals. Okay. This is known as your HPA axis. Okay. Because it's like your hypothalamus, your pituitary gland, and your adrenals, they communicate, okay? They have this feedback loop that takes place between them. And it basically starts with the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is like the captain or the CEO of our body's production of hormones. It scans all the messages and looks around, you know, your environment and your other endocrine glands. as well as checks the body's overall hormonal status before it passes on some orders for more hormones to the pituitary gland. So it's like the hypothalamus is like, you know, kind of overseeing everything. Okay. Right. And then when they see a breakdown, they send a message like an email over to the pituitary department. Right. And then the pituitary department or gland then acts as a project manager and will pull together individual workers. And the individual workers are like the thyroid, the adrenals, and even like the gonads, which would be like ovaries or testes. And it helps them, you know, it tells them what to do, gives them like jobs. So the pituitary will also make sure that the workers have adequate resources to do their jobs by managing growth and repair, as well as like electrolyte and water balance. So the HPA axis, the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the adrenals work in response to two types of stress. We have immediate stress, okay, or acute, and chronic stress. Okay, so let's just talk a minute about the responses to each and how they differ. So in cases of immediate stress, the hypothalamus senses stress, okay, or like something happening, like danger, and it sets off this like hormone cascade that leads to the activation of the fight or flight response. And as part of this response, the adrenals pump out extra hormones, which remember, it pumps out stress hormones, and our bodies go from like a state of relaxing, digesting and healing, and it to go into like a survival state or a fear state. So when your body hits that fight or flight response, it actually shuts down, okay? It shuts down digesting, relaxation, healing, growing, okay? So our body's energy is shifted from these activities that are not essential to survive, okay? Like growing hair, metabolizing your nutrients into energy, making hormones, and like digesting and digesting your food and repairing itself. But instead, when it's in this fight or flight mode, it instead focuses on its resources to meet like this stress-induced demand for cortisol and adrenaline, because your body is getting ready to fight, right? Either fight to survive or run. So either way, it needs like tons of like stress hormones to like act, right? Then, you know, once we've escaped from this threat or whatever's happening, like, for example, what if it's like a bear? You know, you're like out on the trails walking along and all of a sudden you run into a bear. What's going to happen? Well, you know, I would freak out. I don't know about you, but, you know, your body will go into this fight or flight mode. Okay. But you should not run. But we're not here to talk about bear safety, are we? Anyway, or maybe you're like just about, like, have you ever been like so close to a car crash and like you like freak it, you're like, oh my gosh, like ready for it to happen, and then you avoid it, right? So once we've escaped from this threat, no matter if it's a bear or a car crash, the demand for emergency levels of hormones settles down and the focus once again turns to the parasympathetic response, which is focused on body maintenance and upkeep. Okay. So that's like when we have immediate or acute stress, it's like, that's what happens. The hypothalamus is like, yo, adrenals, let's pump it up. Let's like get ready to fight or flight. Now in cases of chronic stress, the never ending presence of stressful yet non-life-threatening situations can lead to the constant activation of the stress response. Okay. So what I mean by that is if you have a very stressful job, a stressful relationship, you overexercise like crazy, you diet like crazy, these are periods of time or activities or things that can constantly push that stress button in your body, like constantly, 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 and it becomes chronic or ongoing. Right? So to help meet the demand for cortisol, your body will decrease the production of other hormones that are normally produced by the adrenals, such as progesterone, DHEA, and testosterone, just to name a few. So eventually, you know, with enough chronic stress, the HPA axis, remember the hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenals, how they work together, it becomes overwhelmed and desensitized to the usual feedback loop and stops sending messages to the adrenals to produce more hormones or less hormones, depending on what's happening. Additionally, a person may run out of nutrients that are required for proper adrenal function. So one of the most common causes of adrenal fatigue is, you know what I'm going to say, right? Stress. Okay. It creates an intense demand for stress hormones like your cortisol and adrenaline all the time. Okay. This is why I talk about stress all the time, right? We know that stress creates, it messes with your adrenals, it messes with your hormones, it messes with your blood sugar, it messes with your sleep, it messes with your weight, right? All of these things come back to this HPA axis that I'm telling you about, okay? Symptoms, let's talk about symptoms. Like if you're like, I wonder if this is me, like what symptoms is she talking about? Well, let's go over them. So feeling overwhelmed. Okay, yes, there are times where always, you know, we're going to have overwhelm. You know, maybe you just have a project going on. Maybe you have like whatever it is. There's going to be moments in your life of feeling overwhelmed. But if you're feeling overwhelmed all the time, that's not good. Okay. Feeling tired, even if you get enough sleep. So I talk to people a lot who are like, Ryan, I mean, you recommend getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep, and I get like 8 to 9 hours of sleep, but I'm exhausted all day long. And I'm like, well, that's a sign, right, of something else happening. Maybe you have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. That's another symptom. Difficulty getting up in the morning, depending on caffeine all day long. Craving for salty foods. Okay, again, or sweet foods, by the way. Craving for salty or sweet foods. One thing to point out here is, yes, you can just crave sweets or salty food just because. But usually it's because of some type of like hormonal breakdown or emotion, right? And the emotions are usually related to stress, okay? Which leads to too much stress, which leads to adrenal breakdown, okay? Increased effort required for everyday activities. So just to get through your day, just to do the laundry, just to get up, just to take a shower, if that is getting to the point where it's just really hard, this is something to think about, okay? Intolerance to exercise, low blood pressure, okay? A lot of people think, oh, I have low blood pressure. That's good, right? I'm like, well, I mean, just like everything, we want balance, right? We don't want it to be too high, but we also don't want it to be too low. Low blood pressure can also lead to feeling faint and dizzy when getting up quickly, okay? Those go together hand in hand. And by the way, I, for years recently, remember me telling you about, if you haven't been listening, it's okay. But recently I just mentioned how for years I was feeling faint and dizzy when getting up. I mean, like sometimes full on, like almost passing out. And we thought it was my heart, got the pacemaker, and it didn't fix it. Working on my blood sugar levels helps somewhat. But when I can tell I'm very, very stress sensitive. So if I'm feeling any stress at all, it doesn't even have to be anything like really critical, you know? I mean, it could be like someone said something to me that like made me upset. And then I have this reaction. And one of the reactions I have is being dizzy. So it's really interesting when you start to pay attention to your body, the things that you notice. Okay. Another symptom is if you're easily startled. Okay. If you just constantly are like someone's walking around the corner and you have like jump scares all the time, that's a sign of adrenal fatigue. Or just your adrenals being worn out. Mental fog or trouble concentrating. Alternating diarrhea and constipation. If you're like, wow, like my stomach is never right, then this is something to consider. Low blood sugar is another thing. Low blood sugar, you know, again, a lot of people are like, oh, isn't that good? I'm like, well, just like we said with low blood pressure, we want to make sure that you're, you know, somewhere in the in a more positive area. A decreased sex drive, decreased ability to handle stress in general, longer healing time, meaning like if you have an injury or a sickness, it takes you longer to get better. A mild depression, it doesn't have to be like a hardcore depression, but just kind of this underlying depressed feeling, less enjoyment in life in general, like kind of that feeling of, I just want the day to be over so I can go to bed. You know, that to me is less enjoyment in life. If you just can't wait to go to bed, you're exhausted, but also, you know, if you don't really look forward to anything, that is less enjoyment. And feeling worse after skipping meals. Okay, so this is a bunch of symptoms. Now, when you hear these symptoms, actually, there's a couple more. Increased PMS. If you feel like you have horrible PMS, okay, or it's like you've noticed recently or at times where you just can't believe how bad your PMS is, and this is a sign. Reduced ability to make decisions. Like you just can't decide. You just want someone to tell you what to do. Reduced productivity and poor memory. These are all symptoms of adrenal burnout or adrenal fatigue. And so what I started to say was, yes, every single one of these symptoms could be something else, right? Every single one of these symptoms to me are very obvious that it's related to stress. But just because you're stressed out this week doesn't mean you have adrenal fatigue, right? And so I believe this is where kind of the medical world versus the alternative medical world, where they kind of butt heads, because the medical doctors are like, well, every single one of these symptoms could be something else. And the functional or like more holistic doctors are like, yeah, but can we just please look at the root cause here, stress? You know, so I'm going to err more on the side of the functional doctors and say, yeah, I mean, I think every single one of these symptoms, when you really peel it back, they all lead to a stress response. Okay. And it all comes back to the adrenals. All right. So for me, when I found out about Hashimoto's, I had many of the symptoms I just listed. I mean, like 95% of them. And I know for a fact that my adrenals were not functioning properly. It took a major lifestyle shift with my work, my exercise, my food, and my mental stress to finally see results and get my adrenals functioning again. Okay. And I got to tell you, it took a long time because I, at first, it wasn't that I didn't believe it. It's just that I didn't know how to change. I didn't know how to stop teaching a bunch of exercise because that was my job and my passion and my love. I didn't know how to stop being a people pleaser. I didn't know how to change my food because I already had changed my food. So here's what is hard about it. It's like really, you know, when it's yourself, it's really hard to look at your life and find what you need to change, especially. And if you know you need to change, but you're just not sure how, that's where a lifestyle coach comes in. And that is what I feel like I do best. I'm a nutrition coach, so I can help you work out like how to balance your blood sugar, how to work with food intolerances if you have them. I can help you with food ideas. I can help you with the amount of food. I can help you with how to reduce your stress. I have so many tools and so much experience in this area. And I really, really wish that I had someone for me when I was going through this, because there's nothing better than having somebody else with an objective point of view helping you out. So if you are experiencing any of these, please keep in mind that I do nutrition coaching. I am starting my breath work very soon. So please don't feel alone. Please don't do this alone. Reach out and at least see if there's a package that I can offer you that can help you get through some of this. All right. So if you are experiencing any of these symptoms that we've just talked about, it's likely that you are living in a state of constant stress or fear. Your body is just probably stressed the F out, right? Or it's possible that you have other medical issues such as prediabetes. Maybe it's like perimenopause, which isn't really a medical issue, right? It's just part of life, but it's very possible that it's creating some of your symptoms. Or maybe you have some autoimmune disorders, like one or more, or a thyroid issue, right? It's not necessarily that you have adrenal fatigue, but if you are having symptoms, it's essential that you get help. Either get in touch with a doctor or you know, get in touch with me. And if I can't help you, then I'm certainly going to refer you back to a doctor or recommend, you know, I have doctors to refer as well. So what can you do right now to help keep your adrenals healthy? Okay. Well, I'm going to give you some tips, and a lot of my tips come back to a lot of what I tell you in other podcasts. And so instead of that being annoying, like, Ryan, I want the new special awesome tip, be excited about it. Because here's the thing. If you keep hearing the same tips over and over, don't you think that's exciting actually? Because it's not that many new amazing things to do. It's just doing the boring stuff, okay? So it doesn't mean it's easy, right? But here we go. So the very first thing, and actually these aren't necessarily in order because they're all equally important. But the first one I want to talk about is rest and recover your body. This is definitely one of the most important things that you can do, not only to keep your adrenals healthy, but to help you feel better all over. It helps you stay fit, helps you stay happy, stay confident and positive. We all need rest and recovery. Even superheroes need rest and recovery, right? You need your kryptonite, which is rest and recovery. So, oh, wait, is kryptonite? I just had a moment there. Is it Superman's the thing that's bad for him or good for him? I don't know. Anyway, we cannot expect to keep going 110% of our entire life without running into burnout or worse, disease, right? So what do I mean by rest and recovery? I mean, get sleep. Take days off from exercise. Take days off from work. You know, your work doesn't, at the end of the day, they don't care about you. I'm sorry to be the messenger of that if you haven't realized it yourself, but we're all replaceable in the world of work. So your work, your clients, your whoever is going to take and take and take and take from you as long as you give. And sometimes you just need a day off. So take a day off. Exercise. Is exercise great for you? Absolutely. Is too much exercise good for you? No. You know, we need a day off from exercise to rest and recover and repair our muscles. Stretching, simply stretching your body is a good way to recover, okay, and rest. Walk more, and I don't mean power walk. I mean, just get outside and move your body. Like, get outside in the sunshine when you can, or go into the woods even better, and just enjoy the movement and just enjoy nature and just enjoy the fresh air. It's so good for you. Also, you may need to take some supplements to support your body. Okay. Maybe that means, you know, you need to take some vitamins, or maybe you need to take some minerals. Maybe you need, you know, some adaptogens or herbs to help you. And that is okay. But I will just warn you, it's not a great idea to take a bunch of herbs without understanding them. So if you have a question about that, let me know or check with your doctor. All right. The second tip that I have for you is reduce or manage stress. Okay, you can't get rid of stress. I totally get that. But what can you control? There's going to be a lot of stressful events and things that happen in our life, but there is also a lot of stressful things that you can control that you need to get control of. Okay, so here are just some thoughts. You know, not feeling like you have to be busy all the time. You know, I was just having a conversation the other day with a client, and we were saying how it's almost like people take pride in being like, oh, I'm so busy all the time. And it's like, all right, but I mean, do you need to be? Like, and I'm guilty of that. If it's Monday through Friday, and it, let's say it's 2 p.m. and I don't have a client and I'm not working on this and I actually have time to rest, do you know what I do? Well, I used to. I'm getting better about it. I will create something to work on because I feel this responsibility to always be busy during the day, especially during the work week. You know, and that's just silly. If you have time to take a break, take a break, you know? And like I said, I'm trying really hard to get better. So I've been back to reading novels. If I have a moment, I sit down, put my feet up, have some tea and read a novel. It's awesome. And it does feel better. Here's another idea. Just give yourself some grace when it comes to expectations. You know, you don't have to be super mom. You don't have to be super wife. You don't have to be super dad. You don't have to be super anything. Nobody expects that of you except yourself, right? We put so much pressure and expectations on ourselves that are just unrealistic. So lower your expectations and you will feel more successful. You will feel less stressed. Okay, I promise. Set boundaries. I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of my life just letting everyone run over me. I'm so worried about being nice and kind to people because I like that. I want to be. I want to treat people the way I want to be treated. But in the process, people take kindness as stupid. People take kindness as like they can take advantage of you. And you know what? They can if you let them. And I am really putting my foot down and not letting that happen anymore. And you would be amazed at how much better it feels. So if you too are a people pleaser, if you too let people run your life, this tip right here might save you from adrenal fatigue, or it might improve your adrenals. Just that one thing. Okay. Something else is working on past trauma. Okay. Traumas, remember, don't have to be like huge traumas, like horrible traumas. They can be little traumas, like what people have said to you. It could be, you know, like losing a job. It could be failing a class. It could be getting a divorce. Like, well, that might be a big trauma, but you know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't have to be like a trauma with a capital T. It can be a little trauma. So working on those, getting a therapist if needed, or just, you know, facing it, working through it. One way you can do that is with breath work. You know, this is my newest venture and I'm super excited about it. It's an amazing tool for quieting your mind and resting your body. So, and I cannot wait to open up my new services to help you more with this because it's really incredible. When you can use the tool that we all have, which is our breath, to actually cleanse your body and soul, it is amazing what you can accomplish. Okay. And then another thing would be working on inner child work. A lot of people hear me say inner child work or past trauma, and I can see their faces immediately go into this like, ugh, whatever, she's being woo-woo, it's weird, it's silly. But I can honestly tell you that this has changed my life. I no longer let my inner child traumas dictate what I do. Instead, I worked on healing, and it's made a giant difference in my health and in my relationships, especially my marriage. So if you hear me say, you know, let's work on your inner child, and you give me the eye roll and you think it's dumb, then I just want to say that that is just you avoiding healing yourself. It's a way, it's almost like a reaction or a, you know, like a protective response that you don't want to go there. So instead of thinking it's weird or woo-woo or hippie, these are the words I hear all the time, how about open your mind and just see what you can do? Okay. I did an inner child healing podcast, gosh, I don't know, about a year ago. And it's the lowest listened, like the lowest amount of downloads for that one. And I know why, because people think it's weird, but I promise you it's not weird. It could be one of the best things you ever do for yourself is to face your inner child. Okay. Okay. I'll get off that horse. All right. The next tip is to balance blood sugar. You know, I talk about this all the time, so you can definitely go back and listen to the past episodes about this, but balancing your meals, stop dieting all the time. Adrenals get completely wasted out from all of the restriction and dieting and just treating yourself terribly. Reduce your sugar and alcohol intake. This is very important. Okay, I just said stop dieting, and then I followed that up with reduce your sugar. Not the same thing, right? A diet is like being really restrictive, following a specific thing, not listening to your body, just hoping you're going to lose weight. Reducing your sugar and alcohol intake is different. That's a choice. And you can incorporate that with balancing your blood sugar and moving your body to really make a huge impact on your stress levels and just your overall health. Also, realize that stress is a major indicator of blood sugar and weight gain. So I have been tracking my blood glucose levels with my continuous glucose monitor. And I said this in one of the episodes, but if I'm having a stressful day or I have not gotten enough sleep, I have a higher blood sugar level all day, or just have more spikes in the day. versus a day where I'm, you know, not feeling stressed, I don't have spikes. So it's really amazing. Just, you know, again, the relationship between stress and blood sugar and, you know, all these things. So then my next tip is reduce inflammation. Okay. You can reduce inflammation by watching environmental toxins and food intolerances. So inflammation comes from many sources, but there are many areas that we can control. One of the areas is food intolerances. So food allergies and food intolerances are both places that people don't realize they have, and it's creating a lot of inflammation. So if you know a food makes you feel terrible after eating it, please stop eating it. You know, why would you continue to torture yourself? Right. So if a food, you know, like if there's like if you eat something and you get bloated or heartburn or you swell up or you like something happens physically that makes you feel bad, then that's a really good indication that you should not eat it because it's going to immediately create inflammation in your body. Okay. No food is worth damaging your body. Okay. Especially if you know it hurts. But here's one bad thing about food intolerances. And even some allergies, sometimes they don't appear instantly and people just don't realize that the food they're eating is creating inflammation. Okay, so if you are somebody who is constantly bloated or you constantly feel inflamed or you're constantly tired or you're having some of these adrenal fatigue symptoms, then it's a good idea to maybe, you know, take a look at what you're eating and see if there's a common thread. Things like gluten, dairy, eggs, nuts, soy, corn. A lot of these, I'm not saying all of them are you, but if you're having like some issues, then you might just want to like monitor how much that you're having or when you're having it and just see, you know, what's going on there. That might be a really good place to explore is doing like a food elimination just for like 30 days and see how you feel. And that is something I help people with. So if you need help and you really want to do it, we could even do a 30-day program together to help you do that. So hit me up if that's something you need. Because here's the deal. Food intolerances lead to gut inflammation, which makes it hard for your body to absorb the good food that you do eat. Okay, this means you don't get the vitamins and minerals. So your body will be starving for nutrition, but probably gaining fat to protect you. And oftentimes, by the way, if you're eating food that you're intolerant to or allergic to, and you don't know it, and you keep eating it, and you think you're gaining fat, you might just actually be inflamed. A lot of people have big, like bloated bellies that they think are fat, but really it's inflammation. Okay, so, you know, this might be an area to explore if you're really dealing with like a bloated or belly, like really feeling like big all the time or uncomfortable. It's probably a good indication that you have something that is not agreeing with you. And it's very common now, and there's a lot of ways around it. All right, so finally, my last couple tips are to fuel your body with nutrients and electrolytes. So once you get inflamed, or once you get like your inflammation under control, it's important to make sure that you're getting enough nutrients. Okay. So this could be through just really healthy food, but also through supplements. Okay. So if you're really inflamed and maybe have been for years and you get, you know, start to really work on the inflammation in your gut and eating healthy, it might take some time. So you're probably going to need some supplements to help you really nourish your body. And that's something you're going to want to get help with because, you know, a lot of people just buy a bunch of vitamins and minerals and supplements online without checking with their doctor. And that can also be a bad thing because you don't want to be over consuming like certain vitamins. Okay. Because it's not necessarily good for you to have an overabundance of a certain vitamin. Okay. And then it can counteract with another one. So that's something you want to get your blood checked for and make sure that you're taking what is necessary. And then electrolytes, many people are not getting enough minerals. Okay, or the wrong mix. So this can lead to dizziness and dehydration as well as heart issues. So if you're experiencing any of the adrenal fatigue symptoms that we've been talking about, you may want to consider finding an electrolyte drink that suits you. And it's important to note that you don't want to overconsume electrolytes, right? You want to take caution in using them because, you know, they do have sodium. And again, you don't want to be adding a bunch of sodium and potassium and magnesium and not understand what you need, because that can lead to other issues. So at the end of the day, every single thing that we talked about today comes down to balance, right? A lot of balance. We want to balance our stress. We want to balance our food. We want to balance our minerals. We want to balance our vitamins. We want to balance our blood sugar. We want to balance our blood pressure. So to do that, you need to be able to reduce your stress so that you can actually pay attention to what your body needs. Okay. So I hope that this was helpful. The adrenals are very, very important. Whether or not adrenal fatigue is real or not, we know that the adrenals do get overstressed. We know that they impact your hormones. We know that it impacts your blood sugar. We know that it impacts inflammation. So I hope this is, again, I hope this was helpful. And if you need help and you would like an assessment just to, you know, look at what you're currently doing, we can look at what food you're eating. We can look at your exercise routine. We can look at like even medication and just see, you know, where you're at now and if what steps you can take to start feeling better. So if that is of interest to you, please email me at rayannmullins@gmail.com. And let me know, just you can say, you know, you're interested in a nutrition consult. I do have a small fee for nutrition consultations, but I also offer packages. So if you decide to get a package, then I will waive the consultation fee and we can create a program for you that will suit you best. And, you know, if it doesn't look like something I can help you with, then again, I can refer you on or give you a couple tips just to get you started in the right direction. So you guys, thanks so much for being here. Remember to rate and review the podcast. I would love it if you would share with your friends, you know, women, men, we all need to learn more about health. So please share this if it, you know, feels good to you. And I will be catching you next week. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast today. Remember, while we've explored incredible tips and insights, none of this is to replace personalized medical advice. Always chat with your trusted physician or healthcare professional before making changes based on what you've heard today. Stay inspired, stay curious, and keep striving for that balanced, fit, and free lifestyle. Until next time, take care and keep thriving.